The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Can we just say a word of prayer? I know you prayed before I came, but since we're here now, Father God, we give you thanks in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the power of your word, for the gathering of your people, for the hope, the trust that you have caused us to have in you, for the hope that you are generating in our hearts by the power of the word that's coming. Lord, we thank you. We know our hope will not be disappointed. Our destinies, Lord, are bright. We know that our lives will give you glory. We overcome us by the power of this word in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, today as we've gathered again, give us an understanding heart and give us revelation that we'll use to tackle the affairs and the challenges of every day in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Okay. Now, I think we ended last time in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And then I want to continue today from chapter 10. He said, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food." And I was talking about manna there. "And all drank the same spiritual drink." Now, this was a type of... Now, he was talking about typologies. That is, these things were types of things. So, he was trying to explain using the experience of the children of Israel in the wilderness. All right, he wanted to explain some issues about the life of the believer. So, he was explaining that all of them passed under the cloud, passed through the sea, and all were all baptized by that process of passing through the cloud and through the sea. They were baptized into Moses, that is, into the covenant that was given by Moses. And all ate the same spiritual food. That was manna, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for he said, "For they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ." Now again, these were types. He was giving these things as types. He said, "Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness." We already studied and understand why. It was because they did not obey the word of God, and they did not believe him when he spoke to them. He said, "Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, and they all were laid low in the wilderness. Now, these things," our emphasis, verse 6, "happened to them as examples for us, that we should not crave evil things as they also craved, and do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play." That's the reference. He said, "Now let us act immorally as some did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some did and were destroyed by the serpent, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer." Now, these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. "No temptation has overtaken you," he said, "but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it." Now, I've just read all of that, all right, so that we'll get the whole picture. Paul was trying to bring out something here. Now, please, let's go back a few steps and understand the issues before now. You know, last time Paul was talking about himself as a person, and he talked about how he allowed things that were his right, okay? He gave them up, all right? "I could eat anything I wanted," he said, "because of my understanding. But I understand further than that, that if my brother is not being blessed by what I am doing, I'm therefore injuring one for whom Christ died." He explained that. We read that in chapter 8. And then in chapter 9, he talked about his rights, okay, as an apostle. The fact that he was entitled to many things, to be supported by these people, but he forgave that also. He gave up the right so that he would be able to effectively minister and be faithful in doing the work that God had committed into his hand. And that, you know, when we read that 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, thereabout, he said, "For though I am free from all men, that is by reason of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I'm a free man." He said, "I have made myself a slave to all. I have become subjected to slavery, it appears like, so that I might win many people." I'm trying to bring a trend in the thoughts that I'm bringing out here. So he was saying that, "See, I have given up all these things so that I may be effective in my ministry." The summary of everything he said is in verse 27. Or let me just see from verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I buffet my body and I make it my slave. Lest possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now, what was Paul explaining? Well, we discussed that before. I just want to connect with what we are saying today. That is, when I'm walking, there is an aim. There's a goal I'm going for. I told you something just now, that I was late for only one reason. I was just tired. I looked for every manner of way by which I could communicate with everybody not to come this evening so that me too, I won't show up. And I didn't find. Okay. And my wife was just laughing at me. She couldn't come because two of our kids are not feeling well. So I have a rule. Somebody has to stay with them. So I told her to just stay behind at home and just stay with the kids. Now, so she was all laughing at me as I was getting ready. You're almost late. I said, I know I don't late. In fact, if I had a way of just signaling everybody, please, I'm not going to be around. But and I said, I know somebody who is also tired and is somewhere. And he said, no, let me go and hear the teaching of the word of God today. Do you understand my point? I said, it would not be right for the person to get here and hear that until I was tired. So you know what I told myself? I said, when I get here, I will just sit down. I will look at each other's face. At least I came. All right, the Lord is good. Now, what am I trying to explain? But you see, you still go ahead, look beyond your own tiredness, all right, and get up and do your work. And this is just a matter of fact. I don't minister by my strength. As I'm talking right now, I can feel the anointing has entered my head again. You know, the strength, the tiredness, I will get it back when I finish here. The tiredness is waiting at the door. It has moved to go and wait for me there. So I know that once I get up, all right, no, really, as a matter of fact, I will connect with the grace of God, and those who settle down to listen will most certainly be blessed. I don't doubt at all. So I said, okay, let's step into that. Now, why am I saying this? I'm trying to explain what Paul meant by I buffet my body. I make it my slave. He said, I am boxing not as one without aim. I'm not boxing as one beating the air. The reason why I take all the beating is because I want to achieve a purpose. Are you getting my point? I will take all of these things because there is a goal that we are going for. Now, having said all of that, okay, well, that was what we read in the previous chapters. I want to connect that with verse 10, chapter 10. You see the same thing he's saying. Now, he has talked about himself, as you can see that. Now, he wants to shift the attention now to the other people that are listening to him. All right? He said, I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that whatever it is you have experienced now, people experienced a type of it in previous times, and they still suffered at the end of the day when they did not, in quote, put their bodies under. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. All right? That is, he said that if you have been baptized into Christ, so were the Jews who left Egypt. They were baptized into Moses. All right? You've been hearing the word of God. He said they were fed with the same spiritual food. That was manna, the food of angels. The word of God in fleshly form came to them and they ate that food. And all drank the same spiritual drink. He was saying that is the same that the water that came from the rock. And that as a matter of typology, is as if they were drinking from the rock that was Christ Jesus, from whom also we are drinking by the power of his word. Now get this. In verse 5, it now says, despite all of this, with most of them, God was not well pleased, and therefore they died in the wilderness. So we're supposed to take instruction from them. He said, therefore, let us check the things that made people who had become, let's use our modern day terms, they have become Christians, they have become believers. Let us check the things that made them fall. Because at the end of the day, he said, therefore, let him, verse 12, let him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. All right? That there's no temptation that has overtaken you that is not common to man. That is, these same people faced the same temptations. Are you getting me? And their lives, their experiences, all right, have been recorded for your learning. So what are the mistakes they made? What are the things that you were not careful about that made them fall, all right, in the wilderness? He said, one, he said, from verse 6, he said, they craved evil things. That was number one. Let me explain something about spiritual things. If you are reading the scriptures, things tend to go line by line. Do you understand me? And precept upon precept. Apart from that, they tend to follow a foundation. Let me explain what I mean. A process like you are building. The first error is that they did what? They craved evil things. Did you hear what I said? Listen, this was what opened them up to other things. That was what opened them up to idolatry. That was what opened them up to acts of immorality. That was what opened them up to tempting the Lord. That was what opened them up to grumbling. Please, I don't know whether you're getting my point. Please, this is a foundational thing. Now, I said this on Saturday, again, we've said in previous times, that in life there are roots and there are fruits. Do you get my point? A lot of things people are struggling for, they're actually fruits, things that they want in their lives, they are fruits, they are not roots. God doesn't give you the ability to control the fruit. He gives the ability to control the root. Do you get my point? Or which goes similarly to something like the seed. You can handle what is the seed. You cannot dictate what will be the fruit. According to Oswald Chambers, God has given me the ability to choose my actions, but he has not given me the, let me use the word, opportunity to choose the consequences. Do you get my point? Now, a lot of things are consequences in life. You know, I told you the other day that I was somewhere, I was on Saturday, and I saw myself surrounded by a lot of people who apparently were not planning to go anywhere. Some of them, it's obvious they have not gone anywhere. That is, they are past the age of trying to go somewhere. So, they have not gone anywhere. And there are a lot of younger people who are towing the same path. And I felt like calling the people, say, come. Can't you see that this is the path of failure permanently in life? You know, permanent failure. You know, there's temporary failure. You invested money in a business today, it didn't work tomorrow. That's a temporary big failure. That's a small big failure. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, that one is small failure. But there's permanent failure in which there's nobody's even doing business with you again. You wake up in the morning, nobody wants to talk to you. There's no business idea you have that anybody wants to listen to. That is, it's not as if we tried and we failed. That is, as we are right now, we can't do anything again. That's what I call permanent failure. Usually, it's not, you usually don't find it in young people. People who are in that kind of situation, usually they will cross the age of 40, 50s, thereabout. And I saw, I said, look, can't people see that this is not leading them anywhere? This is what I'm making. There are little choices they will make. Let me give you, the way, you know, in that book, Choice is Key to Destiny, I explained it. There are little choices like, oh boy, let's go and sleep. No, let's go and listen to the word of God. It's as trivial as that. Little choices like, there's this movie they are showing right now. I can't miss it. Oh boy, it's time for Bible study. No, I'm serious. Things like, stay at home and rest now. You are tired. Or go and teach. People are waiting. Do you understand my point? Look, if Olusi Meka had picked the microphone and said, praise the Lord, brother, let us pray. After we pray for like 15 minutes, Pastor should tell all of you that he's very tired. You know what you would do? You say, now what? He tried. Yes, try it. No, really. You know that's what you would do. I know you forgive me. It's not a habit now. How many days have you reached there and then they told you I was not around because I'm tired? You are getting what I'm saying? All right. That Paul talking about buffeting my body. So I won't say because I can do that, I won't do what is necessary. I'm trying to say something. In the same manner, you know, Paul first talked about the issue that he was a preacher. Now he's talking about those he has preached to. There are little choices people make here and there, and it affects their destiny. They don't understand. Little things like, just like I said, let us go for this party or let's go for this seminar. Little things like, they are sharing question paper. Let's ask those who are in school. This is the real question that is going to come out in this exam. I'm sure. Whether it's the real one or not. Little things like, I don't want to look. Oh boy, give me my own now. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. This life is like that, spiritual things. Now, these are the places where we can make our choices. The consequences, this is not our own portion. Most people don't realize the choices are funny. You don't understand the magnitude, do you follow, of what they are going to produce later. And whether you do left or right, all right, in the matter of choice making, really doesn't affect you at that moment. So you will never realize at that point that what you did was right, apart from the voice of your conscience. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Or does that make sense? That is, it's not as if, I didn't go that way and I lost money. Those are things you can feel instantly. This one is that I didn't go that way, period. I didn't go. There's no consequence that I can feel. That's how choices are immediately. But actually, they have registered something that you will feel in 25 years' time. And unfortunately, you won't even know that was where it was registered. You are getting what I'm saying? Spiritual things are like that. So people, they try to control fruit, not knowing that they don't have the ability to control fruit. They only have the ability to manipulate the root. Do you get my point? Like, we'll continue to discuss that one on Saturday. Talk about the root of bitterness. Bitterness is a root. Once you feel it, you kill the root. Once it has manifested, if you don't kill the root, what it does is that it starts troubling people. There's trouble everywhere. You know, maybe because I'm a teacher, all right, of the Word of God, you know, the affairs of life, anytime I go around, I try to make sense of things. I see a man who's thoroughly badly behaved. And I say, how can you correct this person? And I'm bringing down something, all of things I'm saying. Because you want to start correcting him, you have about 25,572 things to correct him on. Don't ask me how I arrived at that figure. All right? There are so many things. But over time, I've come to understand, no, that is not the major thing you correct. Most of the times, the major thing you're supposed to correct, you don't know. But if God were to open your eyes, you may find out that it's just one little thing that he's been doing since he was a child. He never repented of. That's turning him to this kind of crazy behaving man. Let me give you an example. When we went to Owerri that time, now that was the first time I would do meeting. I allow people to come and ask questions, you know, see me personally for counseling. Normally, I don't do counseling. I don't because I don't imagine how would I hear all your life's problems in 5 minutes and give you all the solution in another 3 minutes. Not possible now. So please, just listen to me and pray. May God help your pastor to help you. I'm not your pastor. I just teach. All right? Now, that day anyway, I allowed people to come and ask questions and stuff. And one man came. He said he came all the way from, well, he mentioned the name of the village. I don't know. Came to where? Not really to attend the seminar. He just wanted to ask me one question. There's an issue. How will he handle it? So I told him to wait. Let me finish talking to that brother. Apparently, he wants to take a lot of time. So I spoke to him last. What was the issue? He said his father is not behaving like a man should behave. And he said that he wants me to talk now because he's about to take some drastic actions. Yes. And I was looking at the man. I said, what do you mean? Because I looked at him. This boy, you don't look small, you know what I mean? You're not a small boy. This guy, you're not a small boy. Let me assess his age. Probably be like 35. So in my mind, what is a father supposed to do for a man who's 35? You know, I really can't understand the situation. I said, please explain. What is it that your father is not doing? He says, he's not taking his responsibility as the head of the home. I said, like what? He said, like the other day now, he sold land for a lot of money. In my mind, oh God, persuade my brother to share the inheritance with me. You know, that's what he told Jesus Christ. And he said, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you? I said, oh, is that the issue? Now, I didn't laugh at him. It's not that it's funny. Because for a man to travel from wherever he travels for, because from knowing that Pastor Banky is coming to where, and he wants to come and get a solution to this problem before he does something dangerous. You know, it's not funny. So I settled down. I said, all right, explain. He talked and talked and talked. He said, now, he doesn't know what to do. Now, listen to this. Let us assume now that he didn't come to see me. And he did something terrible. Maybe one day he forced his father, took a knife and injured his father. No, it can get to that level. No, if you know life, it can get to that. And at the end of the day, the guy is in jail. And everybody has to talk to him and he doesn't understand. And you wonder, what is wrong with this fellow? How did he become like this? He wasn't like this before. I used to know him as a quiet fellow. And you just be confused. But God sent him to me that day, or sent me to him, or sent us to meet each other somewhere along the line. And after he finished talking, I asked him, I said, what do you do? He said, he farms poultry. I said, I can't remember whether I asked him whether I was married or something. I asked him a few questions. The summary of it is that you're not a small boy. No. I said, your father doesn't owe you any responsibility in that line. The man looked at me. I said, yes, most certainly. At this point in time, you owe your father all the responsibilities. The law of duties you owe this man right now, he was looking. You know, that experience taught me something. That Pastor Banky, there are so many things people don't know. You had better start teaching them. I don't know whether you get my point. I didn't know how to tell an adult that. That your father sold land is his personal problem. Was it your land? He said no. And what didn't concern you? What did the man do with the money where he made from the land? Where he said? I said, let me tell you how things work. You say you found poetry. Say, I said, from now on, let me give you an instruction. Every weekend, go home, drop 6 eggs for your father. Every weekend. I said, periodically you have to call off your, you know, they call, is it calling now? Yes. Your old layers. He said, yes. I said, before you sell any, first take one or two to him. And said, this is your own. Daddy, take. I said, God will bless you if you obey these things that I'm saying. And then when God has blessed you, I said, buying emotion paint is not a lot of money. One day, buy paint. Get a young boy who can paint. Take him to your father's house and say, Papa, you have not painted this house from the way I can see it in the last 10 years. I have now bought paint, and this guy will paint. Give him 2 days to paint. Let him paint. I said, if he offers anything, don't take. I said, you know why? Because you are doing your duty as a son is supposed to do to his father. Now, I'm bringing out something. The guy was sitting there looking at me like this. There was news. News. Maybe you expected I would say, go and call the elders of your village. Let them talk to him. You are his son. You are a first son. You have a right to half of whatever land he sells. I told him that. I said, listen, God will bless you so much, you will wonder why you wanted anything from him in the first place. He said, thank you very much, sir. I would have loved to stay for the evening program, but that he came from far. So he has to start going back. I prayed with him and he left. Now, why did I tell that story? I realized that just a simple matter of understanding. Very basic. Basic doctrine. I would have thought every Christian knew that. No, not honestly. That's what I would have thought. The way I understand it is that no matter how much money my father has, alright, somebody who is above me, I'm not asking anything from him. I expect every time I go home, I take a gift. It's a rule my wife and I applies. We don't travel without taking a gift. Alright, my dad is late now, but my mom is still there. I was home. I have to take a gift. I go to see my father-in-law, my mother-in-law. As a rule, you just have to take a gift. I don't care how much money you have. It's not my problem. I made a joke some time ago, for those of you who are here, sometime last year or the year before. As I won Christmas, I bought a bag of rice amongst many things I wanted to give my parents-in-law. And that where they were going to drop the bag of rice I brought, I saw, I don't know how many bags. No, they were stacked like this. I said, that's your problem. No, it's your problem. Next year, I'm bringing another bag. In fact, next year, it will be two. Let me come there and meet a trailer load. It's your problem. The following year, I'm bringing 10 bags. We'll be competing. Why? You have plenty of rice. Does not concern me. It's my duty as a son. Now, please, let me sit on what I'm saying. So you find out that that's how spiritual things are. There's a basic thing. That man was going to go through a lot of hassle. He had suffered so much mental torture because he didn't understand that he was walking in what the Bible calls covetousness. And his own covetousness came as a fruit, all right, which has a root, which I will call lack of understanding. Do you get my point? Lack of knowledge. He just had the wrong perspective of life. I said, oh boy, your father don't try. You don't grow at a particular level. From now on, you don't even expect anything from him anymore. You start looking to God, let him bless your hand. You've been hearing me preach. He said yes. They obey the things I've been saying. And I go at home and do this like an instructor that I'm giving you. And watch what God will do in your life. I said, I would like one day for you to call me and tell me what God has been doing. Next time I come around, make sure you're around to come and tell me what God did in your life. Because I was so certain of it. Because you see, it's not just a matter of obedience. Now, I gave him the instructions. And I was certain, if he would obey everything I said, forget it. The man will be blessed. I'm bringing out the point. God said, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He said this way. This was the first problem they had. They craved evil things. Verse 6. And that was what opened the door for everything else. He said, no, don't forget what I was saying. We are picking all the mistakes they made. He said, now these things happen to them as examples, so that we should not crave evil things, as they also craved, and not be idolaters, as some of them were, all right? And not act immorally, and some of them did, all right? And verse 9 says, let us not try or tempt the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. He said, these things happened to them as an example, and they were recorded for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages have come. What am I saying now? The first and basic thing was that they craved evil things. Let me explain something again. You know, I said that you find out at the end of the day, they became idolaters, people acting immorally and all of that. The Bible says that there are three things that are in the world. The loss of the eyes, the loss of the flesh, and the pride of life. Basic things. And when I say basic things now, sometimes we talk with people, you know. I've given this as an example before. A young man came to me once. Alright, I was trying to get out of the country. I was making all plans and all of that. So I just asked out of curiosity. I said, what's the issue? What's the drive? Because everything, something moves you every time. You don't move yourself. There are things that move you. That's a matter of fact. And the basic thing that moves you is the thing you are really craving. Do you get what I'm saying? Let me just say that to us clearly. As a believer, what should be the intense craving of your heart is to be found pleasing in the sight of God. That's it. That is whatever you want to do. You know, I was talking with this woman today, Sabina McFoy, and we're talking. She was explaining how people are getting carried away by all kinds of strange doctrines. And now, let me say this to you. I said something, I think it was on Saturday. Be very careful how you follow people. Yes, men of God, you don't worship them. No, you'd never do that. The problem is that people sometimes, they look at a man who have believed God in previous times and who God has blessed for one reason or the other. And then they look at the fruit, the blessing in his life as a sign of God's approval. Now, I'm not saying it wasn't God that blessed the man with it. I'm just saying that you cannot start chasing the blessings outwardly. Because, you see, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants. When he finishes bearing fruit, he himself does not know how. Do you get my point? He may have forgotten exactly what he did that made God bring him to that particular level. Now, he did not set out in life trying to get all these kind of external blessings. But having pleased God, God gave him the desire of his heart. And now, he may not even understand that. He's now start preaching to people. 5 things to do if you want a church that has 5,000 people. Number one, preach a message that makes them happy. Number two, never say anything critical from the pulpit. Number three, make sure you wear a fine suit every day. I know this was paying me. A lot of people is there writing down and trying to copy the thing. What one of the things you must understand about life is simple. God blesses people for reasons you can't understand. The day Pastor W.D. Favor and I were speaking, I told him something. I said, what I have discovered is this. If you please God, and God said, what do you want to do for you? He says, I want a church of 55,000 people. God cannot increase the number of serious people in town. I hope you know that. If there are only 300 serious people, he'll give you 300 serious people. And 54,700 Muguns and goats and morons. You wanted 55,000 people. On Sunday, we have the biggest church south of the Sahara. God is not concerned. You wanted to be happy by seeing 55,000 people on Sundays. There they are. Half of them are goats. The other ones don't think it doesn't make any difference. See, if you count 55,000, are you happy? Yes. Now, these are the 50,000 that if you tell them, sell your mothers and bring the money of the sale, they will bring it. God says, are you happy? Say, yes, sir. I'm telling you, that's why you have to look very, very careful. Be very careful. If you want to listen to the message of a man who has been blessed, go and listen to his old messages. No, I'm serious. No, I'm very serious. I'm very serious. I've listened to men. One day, I saw this series of messages by T.D. Jakes. Thomas Dexter Jakes, yes. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. I saw it with Pastor Ed. So I wrote that Pastor, no, we get to listen to the God. So he gave me this in. So we're listening to it. I said, Pastor, this is not the message I wanted to listen to. He said, what? I said, this is the sacrifice of thanksgiving when thanksgiving is no longer a sacrifice. I said, why I was rushing for the message was that the first time I heard T.D. Jakes preach, was the sacrifice of thanksgiving. No, virtually nobody, I had never heard T.D. Jakes. My friend just said, Bank, there is a message you must listen to. I went to his house, he just put it, yeah, listen. And I saw this fat black man. Now the man is slim. He has written a book titled Lay Aside Every Weight. Having laid aside every weight. No, T.D. Jakes lost over 50 kg to come down to the weight that he is right now. I'm telling you, the man shed weight heavily. He now wrote a book titled Lay Aside Every Weight. On how to lay aside every weight. You know what I mean? Then you see his fold. When he wears a neck collar, irreverent. You can't see the collar because the neck is the collar in itself. It covers the real collar. And he preached the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Till today, I've not heard anybody preach them. Even me, I can't preach. I can't even remember what he said. Do you get my point? I can remember how what he said that when people are shouting, oh, Father, we thank you. We thank God. Offer God the sacrifice. He said, look, the sacrifice of thanksgiving was Isaac that Abraham took to the altar. Not, I just raise my hand and I worship. Do you get my point? Now, so what I'm going to say is that you listen to the, when I listen to the one which now was wearing Armani suits, you know what I mean, and Calvin Klein ties and spraying the, you know, custom, you know, this one personalized edition of Polo, you know, those are the things you see, and it has two private jets. I listen to the message. I say, Pastor, this is not the message. He said, hey, Dr. B, I agree with you. I know the other one too. He said, right now, man, don't prosper. I said, we just close the message. I said, we'll close the message. Now, is the message wrong? No, of course not. Very good message. Powerful. Yes, I want to compare it to the first one we heard. I heard that message 1993 or 94. All right? About 14 years ago. My God, I never heard anything like this. Listen, that's when men sowed the seed that you have seen manifested today. But people now see them today, say, T.T. Jakes School of Ministry. For effective ministry to the whole nation. You go and kill everyone, go the key of the lead. The real message, yeah. It was 15 years before you came. Now you are hearing the message of a man who has chopped. You should have heard the message when both you and him were hungry. And then, I wish you would get what I'm trying to say here. What I like about those men, somebody like Bishop Oyedepo, is that the things he says today, doesn't preach as well, as much as he used to, in my opinion, alright? But I'm so glad for people like him that the same things he said then. All right? Now, some of us heard it when he didn't have a physical reason to say them. Most people are hearing it now, and they can understand the physical reasons why he's saying it. But when I first heard him say it, there was no physical reason. He was saying things that were far beyond him, most of which he had caught up with. All right? As at now. But then the power was more evident then. That's when I heard him, you know, for the first time. Now, I'm just saying something that, you see, so we don't understand that what we see outwardly, the real root of them, they are really hidden. They are small. Most people chase the things that are, outward, not really the ones that are hidden. Which the Bible says, he himself does not know how. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, I'm trying to build up something here. That things have foundations like that. And when people, that was in the area of blessing I just explained, but it works in both areas. That if people want to be blessed, it's not the end that is a blessing that they chase. There are some foundational things. Now, here he said, let us not crave evil things. That's why I told I was talking with somebody. That unfortunately, people have started craving, actually, they don't realize it, they started craving evil things. Thinking they are craving blessings. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. That is, see, the number one quest for the heart of the believer should be to be found pleasing to God. That's it. That is, you don't qualify that with anything. To be found pleasing to God. I said before that I read in the scriptures that the man, the one that wants to become rich, all right, passes through many hurtful lusts and pierces himself through with many sorrows, right? And I said, but by my experience in reading the scriptures, that God has always blessed those men who pleased him materially. Abraham, Isaac, even Job. Do you follow my point? You see scriptures that say the Lord delights in the prosperity of his servants. Honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruit of all thy increase, and you will discover that you will never be broke. He said, your vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I mean, it's in the scriptures. I said, so what is the difference? Simple. It was when Jesus Christ showed up. They said, bow down and we'll give you this. He said, no. Anything that I will get in life must be a result of the worship of God. That's the summary of that temptation. Are we saying the things outwardly are not good? No, we never said that. We are saying they're only good when God adds them to you. That's all. The blessing of God, they make rich and will not add sorrow. Do you get my point? It's when God gives you his blessing. Okay, it makes rich, all right, and doesn't add sorrow. It's when God gives you his blessing, whatever come out of it. Do you get my point? Now, if a man starts craving the riches that a blessing gives, he's craving an evil thing. But if he craves the blessing, you get what I'm saying? That is, the blessing makes rich. If you crave riches, what you are craving is evil. If you crave the blessing, which comes by being pleasing to God, then what you are craving is good. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Then no, that's just the way it is. And when people have the wrong craving, when is the foundation of their walk in life a wrong craving, then all other things of not, you know, badness, of evil, and all of that are added unto them. When they crave what is wrong, they become idolaters. Do you get my point? Now, I said something last Saturday before that. I said, as a believer, you can want anything in life. When you're asking God, it's good. But one thing you must always remember is to tell God that if you don't give me, I will never cry. Yes, I'm serious. You can desire anything, it's okay. Say, God, I heard that there's a man who doesn't even believe in God. Or at least like I do. And his name is Puff Daddy. And he has a whole house. And it's his wardrobe. God, in the name of Jesus, now I'm a blessed man. I must have bigger than that. Nothing spoiled. No, nothing spoiled. Nothing spoiled. Just remember to add that, however, more importantly, Lord, is that I must be found pleasing to you at all times. And if you say that I shouldn't even have a house at all, it's okay. He will say, no, you are not praying in faith, my friend. Any faith beyond that one is craving evil things. I know what I'm saying. No, I know what I'm saying. No, I really know what I'm saying. I'm not going to bring out the principle here. So you find out that getting the right foundation is what makes building a great life before God easy. So Paul was explaining what's the foundation. The problem was what they craved. Now let me say something. I wrote it inside one of the books. Yeah, that great faith can be yours. I wrote what I want to say now there. First time you didn't even talk about my pastor in Lagos, Pastor Poggi. I talked about him a lot. And the first time I encountered him, I went to eat in a place, Didas, and they had these covenant letters, you know, small newsletters that you could read. And I read one of them titled, the first one I think was Gospel, the Light of the Nations. And the next time I came, I read one titled Manna, the Food of Champions. I can't ever forget that thing he said. Manna, the Food of Champions. I wrote it inside that book. Great faith can be yours. Now, what did he say in Manna, Food of Champions? I want to tell you what he said. Now, he talked about they craved evil things. What was the craving, physically speaking? God was giving them manna. You understand my point? Every day you come out, you pack manna. And you know what the meaning of the word manna? Wait a minute. Now wait. If you see that worry people, they pass with us that time. You know what you have called it? Show. You know, sure, like waiting. That's what they would have called it. What is this? That's what manna is. Now they ate what they didn't know for a long time. What is this? Well, go and get food. What do I get? Whatever you find there. What did you bring? What is this? I say, hey, that is it. What is it? And after some time, hey, we are tired of eating what we don't understand. Let us eat meat. Now, physically speaking, all right, as a believer, that's not a problem. I mean, like, we're talking on physical things now. That's not what Paul was referring to as a believer. Now, he said that was written for our learning. It was a type. Now, there's something that Pastor Paul, you said. That manna, all right, was a bread from heaven that God gave them. Is that okay? And that when Jesus was speaking, he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Your father ate that manna in the wilderness, they still died. But this is the bread that came down from heaven. He was saying, in effect, that there's something in the life of Christ, the word of God that the believer is supposed to crave. Now, bear this in mind. Now, he explained that a time came when they were supposed to face giants. Joshua and Caleb said, no problem, we can face the giants. You know, they did not doubt. Now, he was explaining that the reason why they didn't doubt, now, please try and get the point. I understood the spiritual lesson. Was that they had been eating only manna. I don't know whether you get the point. That they had been eating only the food that God gave them. And that was what gave them the strength to face giants. That was what gave Caleb the strength to live from the age of 40 to the age of 80. Do you understand my point? And yet, his strength did not abate. That's why I called the writing, as I titled the write-up, Manna, the Food of Champions. Are you getting me? Sometimes Christians, I said before, we try to fight fruit. We don't lay hold of the root. The basic thing is what we are craving. I hope what I'm saying is making sense. The basic thing is what we are craving. I'm a preacher, so I like to say this a lot. A lot of preachers crave a large congregation. It's an evil craving. A lot of preachers crave magnificent buildings. It's an evil craving. Listen to this. A lot of preachers crave plenty of money. It's an evil craving. They crave exposure. It's an evil craving. They crave all the things that you will see with a man who was blessed of God. But you crave them directly, it's evil. Do you get what I'm saying? What is he supposed to crave? To be pleasing in the sight of God, number one. What are the practical things about it? There is a ministry that has been committed into my hands. I exercise myself accordingly. Do you follow my point? I like what the Bishop Oyedepo said many years ago. He said, look, for those of you who knew me then, he said, the way I preach now, I use as much energy when I was preaching to only 10 people. Yes, it's a matter of fact. And this is Pastor Banky talking now. For those of you who knew me then, it used to be only 4 or 5 sitting down here on Saturday. I think I preach with the same amount of energy. In fact, more actually, than I do now. You know why? We didn't have this quality of microphone that time. So you shouted some more. What am I trying to explain? I exercise myself accordingly. That's what he was saying. That is, once I'm exercising myself, God is pleased. Let me explain what I mean. You know, somebody told me some time ago that, and it's already happening in Nigeria. You know, there's a way, if you want to be very famous, there are things you do to become very famous. I just pay a reporter. You know, it's very simple, though. My friend downstairs, the one that taught me that, he said, that one is simple. One day we bought a magazine and he showed me a write-up about his company. And they described how this place is Nenugu, this and this and that and that. I said, boy, now how you take manages? He laughed. He said, that's 3,000 I are talking. He said, just call the reporter, buy him drink, buy him food, give him 3,000 in an envelope. And the guy write up anything where he want, put that for newspaper. I said, this one is small. Then when they launched the other project, he said, that one cost him 10,000 naira. Full page weekend newspaper. Full page discussing some trends happening right now in Eastern Nigeria and the people pioneering it. How you take money? He said, nah, 10K is not difficult. Just call the reporter and say, oh, boy, how far? All right, we have some issues going on. Give the guy a rundown. While you are talking, food is flowing, drink is flowing, everything is flowing. And by the time he's leaving, you slip an envelope into his hand. The guy looked the envelope, he counted, he corrects, put it in for pocket. I got no worry. In 2 hours this time, watch out. And of course, you go share the money with the editor. Okay, editor, this is not your own court. Business day. You do, he said, why pay 200 and something thousand naira for a food page advert? Don't worry, take 20K. It's news. This is not advert now, it's news. So if I want to do that, preachers do it. I want to do that as a ministry. You just go and call one newspaper. Weekend, you know, Sunday. You know, the junk time. Not serious news time. Sunday and Saturday. So boy, project. We budget me like 50K for the project. In 3 or 4 different newspapers, we spend the money. So there is a young, upcoming, fiery preacher coming out of the East. Listen to me. At the end of 2 months, everybody knows your name. And you know, there are a lot of jokers like you all over the nation also who start inviting you for programs. For only one reason. You're a hot... They have never heard you preach. What's the big deal? After all, you're famous. Yes. He said, who's I doing it? Now, what do they do that? You think that, then you now hear that, one day, do you know this guy actually bribed to have this one? Do you know this happened? God said, you see, that's idolatry. Are you getting my point? Yes, that's idolatry. You see, very soon, you see the men are beginning to commit what you call acts of immorality. They begin to grumble and whine about everything. You say, why are they like this? I can't believe that a preacher can be like this. Shh, God said, relax. That's not the problem. The problem was what he was craving at the beginning. Do you get my point? And Paul said, these things were recorded for our learning. Now, look at what he said. He said, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Are you getting my point? You see, we will talk about this one on Saturday. This is actually not what I want to send a message for today. Just wanted to explain something briefly. He said, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There is a process for taking heed, all right? And that is not for those who have fallen. It's for those who are doing what? who think they are standing. You know, when I was talking with Sabina McFoy today, she said something that really made me laugh. He said she has learned that the people who are deceiving people are the ones who start with warnings. Be careful that you are not deceived. You don't get the point. He said the man who is deceived already and who is deceiving other people is the one who stands and introduces, as soon as he arrives, said, my son, let me warn you. Be careful. There's so much deception going on out there. Meanwhile, he's deceived. And he's trying to deceive you. Or he's not deceived, he's lying, and he's trying to deceive you. And he's the one shouting. And that's why it's so important that as a believer, you are very careful you don't always point. Do you get my point? To other people. That you carefully examine your eyes in the morning, say, the log that was there yesterday, has it shifted? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. I'm using the words of Jesus Christ. You look out for the log inside your own eyes. It's very, on Saturday I'll discuss that, alright? The process of purification of the heart is important. Because you must never assume, you must never assume that everything you do is perfect. One of the things, prayers I pray sometimes, God, please, I teach people and I know that they are blessed through the word that I preach, they are corrected. I also take correction from the things that I say. I take correction through the things that I say. I take corrections from them. But, I say, of course, there are people who know much more than I do. Who have preached much more than I have preached, or will preach for a long time to come. I said, dear Lord, please expose me to their ministry. It's a prayer I pray. Because nobody knows everything. Nobody. One day I was watching TV, there were two Americans I noticed. They're not very famous. They're just there, preaching for decades. I said, God, please, I need to get these people's materials. I listened to a few hours of their messages and it really touched my life. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at what you don't know. Are you getting my point? When it's exposed to you, you'll be amazed. That's why Paul said, the person who is standing is the one that should be careful. Now, I like the way he said it. He said, let him who does what? Thinks. That's the word. Let him who thinks. It is opinion. Let him who thinks. Some of them were actually found later. They're actually on the floor. And they thought they were standing. The Lord is good. Please, it's what I'm saying there. I hope it's getting clear. All right. So he said, these things were recorded for our learning. Now, let's just get it clear. I said something on Saturday, talking about purification of the heart, and talking about, does Satan have anything in you? It's so important for us. I just want to outline the things that he was referring to. Now, he said, let us not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they stood up to play. Now, that was describing what happened when Moses was not around for a while, and before he came back, they had donated all their jewelry, all their gold and all of that, and made a calf, which Aaron helped them to make. And that was what he was referring to there. And then the next line was, let us not act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Now, that was the issue about Balaam and Balak. When Balaam couldn't curse the people, and then he counseled Balaam, I read from Revelations, that he counseled Balaam that what he needed, Balak, that what he needed to do was to let the women loose in the presence of the children of Israel. And the people began to act immorally. Are you getting my point? And therefore, they opened the door, okay, for Satan to come into the camp. And that was why God allowed 23,000 of them to be destroyed in one day. He said, no, let us try the Lord as some did, and they were destroyed by serpents. That serpent issue, I don't know whether we should discuss that one or, well, it will come up around that time. The healing that Moses gave them then was when he lifted up the serpent and said, anybody who will look up to it, all right, will be saved. Not grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, I don't want to spend all the time here. We'll still come across these things later. But the word grumble, you know, for me, is actually very important. Is the opposite of what? Who can tell me the opposite in the scriptures? I'll tell you. Thanksgiving. It's not the opposite of contentment. It's the opposite of what? Thanksgiving. Yes. Complaining and grumbling. Because what used to happen to them is simple. God took them out of Egypt into the promised land. They forgot that they were slaves in Egypt. Isaiah complained that after all, we ate good food there. And you know, we are Nigerians, amen? I know nobody, well, maybe because I'm a Nigerian. It's possible people in in Bangladesh grumble more than Nigerians. But I've never been to Bangladesh. I really wouldn't know. So I wanted to say nobody grumbles more than Nigerians. But actually, I think everybody, human being, grumbles. And all you need to do is watch TV. But for as a believer, the Bible says that those that grumbled, what happened to them? They were destroyed by the destroyer. I think it's so important we learn the attitude of thanksgiving. And that's the fact that it was when people didn't give God thanks that he gave them over to the depravity of their minds. Are you getting my point? All the things that we do in grumbling, can you believe? I don't know the kind of country we are living in. In fact, you know, Ghana the other day celebrated 4 years of uninterrupted power supply. And we say we're the giant of Africa. What kind of giant is this one that is lying down? You know, the other day, even Sudan, that there is war. You know, they had GSM before us. Rubbish country that we are living in. Can you believe it? Our roads are so bad. All the accidents on the road just because of bad road. Which kind of useless country is this? Snake will soon bite you. With that kind of talk. No, and the same person say, oh, I'm leaving this country. I know he'll go to a country where he'll become a slave. A real slave. When I say slave, oh, you never see slavery. A real slave. Somebody was analyzing for me the other day. He said, you know the way American society is designed? They ensure you work all the time. It is difficult to save money to keep you for more than a week after you stop working. Robert Kiyosaki says an average American is 2 paychecks away from bankruptcy. He's an average American. That is, you're sacking for 2 weeks, doesn't have a job, he's bankrupt. He'll lose his car, lose his house, lose this, lose that, lose that. In fact, he has to file for bankruptcy protection from the people that he's owing. And my friend Chuck told me once, we're discussing this. I said, let him explain that he knows he lives in the US. He said, this is how it is. That they had a patient who was sick. Had an acute heart condition. They checked him, found that he actually had a serious heart problem. So he needed to go for coronary surgery. And as they were counseling him, the man said they should discharge him. He said, what's the problem? He said, I have to go to work. He said he was explaining to the man, sir, you don't get the point. If you get up here and start walking out, you could drop down dead in front of the hospital here. And the guy said, no, you don't understand. I have to walk. As a taxi driver, a Mexican, he said, you don't understand. I have to walk. I have to walk. And no, please, I get the point. You need this surgery, sir. You could die. The man said, no, you don't get the point. I have bills to pay. My friend told me, he said, no, that's the way it is. Now, that is, you know, he can carry you and tie you with chain. You can see that one. So they call you a slave. But there are chains you can't see. You can't see the chain. You can't see it though, but you are still a slave. You can't run far. Should be the idea behind the chain in the leg of the slave is so that he can't go away far. This one too, he can't even go to hospital. Now, why do men get into such situations? This is what I believe very strongly. Because especially Christians, they grumble. You know what I said? They do what? They grumble. You've heard my own way of doing it. Say, power is always failing. Say, thank God, these generators are so cheap. This is, Father, we thank you. 15 years ago, nobody could buy a generator. But right now, we can afford them. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. This one only chose 0.25 liters an hour. Oh, Lord, we worship you for the technology that allows us to use only 1/4 liter for 1 hour. That's 1 hour in 4 hours. 1 liter in 4 hours. Father, we praise you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise be the Lord. Let me tell you the truth. What does that do for you? I'll tell you. In simple terms, it will make you very rich in life. I'm serious on what I'm saying. And you will be free with your wealth. You will not be in bondage to anybody. Listen, when opportunities for prosperity come, you will see them. The grumbling man won't see them. But you, with a thankful heart, you will see them. I described that thanksgiving attitude as a first exercise in developing your ability to believe God for great things. You know, like we have in that book, the same thing I'm teaching on radio now, that the ability to believe, just like Pastor Paul, you talked about manna being the food of champions, all right? That
there is an ability to believe. You don't just wake up in the morning and say, now I'm, I want to begin to believe. Yesterday I didn't have faith, today I will have faith. Yesterday I was a doubter, today I'm a strong believer. Listen to me. He said, why, what happened? You released one powerful message in the morning. Listen, you know what happened? You've received the word with joy. It's springing up quickly. It doesn't have deepness of earth. You'll soon wither. The first challenge, your faith will vaporize. You know what I mean? The faith you thought you had, boom, it will vaporize. It will. But what are you supposed to do? First, build up your ability to believe. And I explained that the first exercise is in being thankful. Take a glass of water. Lord, I thank you. This water is mine to consume. I drink this water with thanksgiving. Ah, Lord, thank you. Refreshing. Let us just worship the Lord for water that flows. I'm telling you, it's very critical. Did you notice that Jesus never took food for granted? Never. There was no time he ate without giving thanks. Food that he said God gives free to the bread. No, those birds just fly around. Bird don't shit for your head before. Very useless creatures. You see, as they fly. Eh? That's it, they shit. One day I woke up in the morning dressed up. I was supposed to go for an exam. As I stepped, I just hear pop on my head. I'm not joking, though. It landed on my head. I said, yeah. At 5:30 in the morning, I said, Father, I thank you. It's a sign of a good day. I'm serious, though. That's what I did. I said, Lord, this is a good day. I can see good things. After all, I said, there's a funny belief in my place that if bear shit for your head, you'll be a rich man. The lady is a confirmation of what I've always believed. Even the birds of the air confirm. Now, these birds, they eat without praying, nothing. They just wake up in the morning. Jesus said, your heavenly Father feeds them. That's how common food is. Yet, every time you give it to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, first thing he will do is what? He will give thanks. So that's the first level of what? Faith. So that's the opposite of grumbling. We should be careful as believers that we don't grumble. You always have something to give God thanks for. Now, let's go on. So now, therefore, okay, now let me just read that verse 13 again. So no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Now, please notice that he said that, now, he gave a background to it. People have been tempted in previous times, and there is no temptation, he says, that comes upon you, but that which is common to men, that other people have gone through. He said, now, there's something that God does. He never allows you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. What does that mean? God regulates the amount of temptation that come to you, number one. Number two, any temptation you see, you can handle. That's the summary. That is, whether you feel like it or not, that is, if God runs a gym, there's no weight there you can't carry. Yes. No, that's just the way it is. The problem, like I said, the basic problem beforehand here is the fact that people are craving something that is different. Therefore, they don't understand. They are unable to discover the strength they have to bear the temptation. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, if, you know, I like one thing that Oswald Chambers said, which will help me explain this a bit further, then we'll close with that. Oswald Chambers said that Jesus never came to save the world. Have you heard me say that before? Oswald Chambers said Jesus didn't come to save the world. It was the Father that was saving the world. That Jesus came to do what? Do the will of the Father. I know that was the first time I heard that. I never heard anybody else say it apart from myself while I was quoting Oswald Chambers. Do you know what I mean? Yes, he said that Jesus never came to save the world. It was the Father that was saving the world. That Jesus came to do the will of God. I'm explaining something. When we're talking about temptation, I always say that people, look, I discussed this last week Saturday, not this last one and the one before that, that people don't understand how to judge what temptation is. That's why they easily fall for it. Do you get my point? That they think this is about money or no money. This is about passing or not passing. The man said, if you don't come to bed with me, you will not pass. No. It is not about that. It's about destiny. It's about opening doors for Satan. You're getting my point? That if we really have a correct perspective of what the temptation that we are dealing with is, we will discover that we actually have the strength to overcome it. There's no temptation that has come upon you that the Bible says God did not allow it only because he knew that you had the ability to handle it. Do you get my point? You know, I said something before. Let me just end here, all right? You know that Jesus, when we read the temptations in the wilderness, there are three of them. That we assume, we used to, I'm sure we don't do that anymore. We just assume that that was the day he was tempted. But actually, that was not the day he was tempted, in quotes. He was tempted before, the same temptations had been going on in his life for years. That was just the one that was recorded for us to learn from. Are you getting my point? As a matter of bread and tempting God and all of that, since he was 16, or before that, they had been teaching him with little bits of, don't tempt God here. Don't disobey God because you have the power to convert stone to bread. Don't seek after your own luxury. Don't seek after your own good alone. He had been going through those temptations for a very long time. And when he finally entered into the wilderness, God knew by experience, all right, that he could handle that. That is, he had built his muscles over time in resisting temptation. Do you get my point? It's like you are going for Olympics. While you are practicing, maybe you are a coach, and your boy is there. You know he's very good, cool, together. They put weights down, 300 pounds. Oh yeah, clean and jerk. You look at it, 300 pounds. Small thing. You remember that when you guys were practicing, you used to do 370, 380. You get my point? And once the man is together, you know, you don't worry. So is he going to carry it? He said, how much? You guys, you add 10 to this side, he'll carry it. You know he can carry the weight. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that's the way it is with Christians and temptations and all of that. God knows that you can handle it. The problem, however, is that, you see, it's not the day of temptation that a man really falls. I don't know whether you get what I said. It's not that day of temptation that he really falls. When did he fall? When he started craving evil things many years ago. I don't know whether you got my point. Let me just give this illustration and then we're out of here. Remember David? One day he got up, killed, he took a wife, killed the husband, and then permanently married the woman. I read George MacDonald, either John MacDonald or one of those men of old, and he explained the principle that the degree of iniquity you saw in the heart, in the life of David, with the case of Uriah and Bathsheba, all right? He said that was the extent to which his heart was not fully yielded to God. I don't know whether you understand that. That is, that little bit of iniquity was in his heart. And I've preached this one before. That why didn't God prevent David from... You know, God could have done that. God could easily have done that. All God needed to do was to give him stomach ache that morning. When a man wants to get up, his stomach will begin to ache. One angel will just take a sword and be moving his spleen up and down. And the man will be turning. Then once Bathsheba bath finish, the angel will vanish. He said, what was that? He won't understand that the woman don't buy finish. They don't go house. You get my point. Now, this is just by the will. I have a feeling that David knew when she normally bats. That's when he went out that time. I suspect. I wasn't there, but I have a strong suspicion. And the man said, now this time, this girl, they bath. So, he just come out. Was meditating, waiting for her to start bathing. So, God said, all right, no problem. Stand. Now, this is the point I'm making. Why didn't God just prevent it? I'll tell you my answer. The reason is because God is more interested in a pure heart. Do you get my point? David would never have found out that his heart was impure. That's the simple thing. It was a difficult time for David. It was a difficult thing, but God was excited. Do you know why? At the end of the day, God had created in him a pure heart because he prayed a simple prayer. Afterwards, he said, create in me a pure heart and renew a right spirit within me. Before then, David thought he never did anything wrong. God said, all right, no problem. You know what we're going to do? Let us allow the evil inside his heart to manifest. What am I saying? Was it when he saw Bathsheba that he felt, no, not at all. Long ago. Long ago. Long ago. And some of those bad habits, I don't know where Solomon inherited it from. You know what I mean? I don't know. Because when they gave it to him, his father had repented. Maybe he read some of the books his father used to read and the man forgot to throw away. And the bad habit crept into his life. What I'm trying to say, it's not the point of temptation that's the problem. He said they craved evil things. Are you getting my point? There was something inside their heart, a little bit of evil that was lurking somewhere deep. But because the man thought it wasn't there, God said, we have to allow it manifest so that we'll be able to clean it out properly. This is how we create a clean heart. We discussed that one on Saturday. Usually, it's when God allows you to see that evil is there. There are different ways. God can just, you know, by simple word, as somebody is preaching, the thing just enters your heart and you know that this thing is talking about me. Are you getting my point? Or secondly, God said, no problem. I will allow you to do it. When you have committed the crime, then you will now know that there's no explanation again. And listen, as a child of God, the fastest way, the easiest way to keep yourself out of trouble, even when they're not talking to you, assume it's you they are talking to. Say, all you adulterers and liars and thieves in here. And say, I know they're not talking to me. No, don't do like that. Open your shirt and check whether... Let me be that. That is... No, they not call your name. You understand? But just peep inside, say, is my heart like that, really? I'm not joking. It sounds like a joke, but I really am serious about it. You say, is my heart really like that? Father, go peradventure. Please. A simple prayer. Not, don't mind them. All these thieves. We know them. All these politicians. We know. They all die and go to hell. God say, you. Okay. Wait. I don't know whether you get my point. That was how God demonstrated it to David. They first told a long story. David said, they are in trouble. In this Israel where I am king, there's no unrighteousness allowed. Fine. See, this was your state of heart until we allowed, this was your thought pattern. Until I allowed you to do it, now you have seen it. But again, David, good man. He quickly repented. You know, if to sin and Saul. Saul will say, Samuel, you don't understand. It was the woman that called me. He said, what about the king of Uriah? He said, well, let a lie. Uriah committed suicide. He committed suicide. I'm serious. Till Samuel will go there. You know, Saul won't change his mind. Saul, no. It wasn't my fault. Okay, why were they living near the palace? Why were they living near the palace? Why should they bath in the open? Did you not make a law that everybody should bath in secret? Oh, no, Samuel. It wasn't me. It was the woman. What about Uriah? Uriah is a tactically blunderous man. Is that English all right? That he makes a lot of tactical blunders. We have told him, when people are fighting, don't go near the walls. I mean, I remember last time we were invading the Amalekites. Look, you know what happened. Uriah was the one who felt we should charge through that place. Look, he's dead now. You want to blame me? You know, when the guy finished, somebody shook his head. He said, this guy, you are hopeless. All right, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. But there's something I should just say this and then we'll leave. It's part of what Paul was explaining. And that's the fact that, you know, he warned people that if you do that which is wrong, God has no choice. He will treat you like an unbeliever. You did get my point? That when the Bible talked about the fear of God, please, I don't believe in that expression you use a lot, the reverential fear of God. It's not reverential fear. It's not respect of God. You see, there's a difference between respect and fear. Do you get my point? There's a difference between respect and fear. If you want to cross the road, and I say don't cross, out of respect you can say, okay, Pastor Bank said don't cross. But if Mopo carry gun and say, you stop there! You know, it has nothing to do with respect, though. You look the gun. I didn't want to cross before, Zev. You know, you start explaining the way. That is what is called fear. Okay, so I'll wait for you here. That's respect, though. Do you follow what I'm saying? Fear is that, if you cross, that mama, he may shoot. You know, that is fear. And listen, I'm sorry to say this, but that's a matter of fact. That is what the Bible preaches. Fear the Lord, ye his sins. That's what he's saying. I know people say, God is love, God doesn't cause trouble. Listen, I don't know which kind of Bible we read. No, honestly, we obviously don't read special scriptures. Because he said, these things were recorded for our learning. They did this, did that, and therefore they died in the wilderness. They did this, 23,000 died in one day. He said, for that reason, please, let us take examples and not sin like the saint. Is that not what he was saying? He said, fear the Lord, ye his saints. What it means is that if he says, don't cross, don't stop crossing out of respect. Assume it's a soldier that have cocked his gun that's saying, don't cross. Halt who goes there? Advance to be recognized. Halt, who are you? I said in the barracks. That's how we used to do that at the gate. It's in the dark. The man's gun is, you know, if it's a real war season, Alright? His gun is trained on you. When it says halt, please halt. When it says advance to be recognized, don't retreat to disappear. Because he might shoot. The Lord is good. Listen to me. That's what they call the fear of God. That is, oh boy, it's not as if God doesn't love us. He does. I have a son who is in the age of plenty misbehavior and that needs to be corrected with, you know what I mean, different things. Yesterday, I heard that after my wife left, I left the house earlier to come here and come and do a radio recording. I heard that by the time she was leaving, she told my son, they were doing his homework. Okay, finish your homework, and then she went out. As soon as she left, the boy abandoned the homework, Cartoon Network, crossed his legs and began to watch cartoon. Then when I returned, when I horned at the gate, I entered the house. I said, where's Akindu? He says, upstairs doing his own work. And Adam, actually, he heard the horn and he went upstairs to do his own work. So I called him. I said, come here. I heard that when your mother left, you decided to start watching cartoons instead of finishing your own work. He said, yes. So I saw a cane nearby. I said, give me that cane. The guy moved back small. His countenance changed. Actually, his countenance fell. I know because I heard it land on the ground, actually. He shattered. And I wasn't trying to kill him. Actually, I just saw the king. They just wanted to hold him back. The guy looked. I said, you know what your punishment is? No TV again today. Of course, there was no TV again that day anyway. I said, and the whole of tomorrow. He said, yes. So I will not watch TV at all tomorrow, right? I said, no. He said, very good. Yes. You know what he was saying? Was agreeing heartily. The king was in my right hand. He was agreeing. I said, now you are going to finish your homework. And you go and have your bath and you go and sleep. He said, yes. Right now I'm going upstairs. I'm going to finish. Should I finish it upstairs? I'll come and finish it downstairs. I said, you finish it upstairs. You know, all the guy was thinking about is, whatever I need to do, that this cane will not be used, I will do it. She is no, it's just tomorrow that there will be no TV. No problem. That is what is called fear. Do you get the point? Please, he said, if we do like within the wilderness, then we'll suffer the same consequences. I said something last time. Let us learn, like Moses, to circumcise our firstborn so that God, after giving us a commission, will not be the one to come and oppose us on our way to fulfill that commission. I hope you've gotten the point. All right, let us pray. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Let's just thank him for the power of his word.